Welcome back to the Morning Tailgate. Thanks for being with us here on Raider Nation Radio, R&R 920 on X. Hey, you can hit us up on the text line, brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, 702-365-9200. It's also our phone number as well here on R&R 920. We will talk to former Raider Grant Irons at 9 o'clock. Once a Raider, former Raider, 9:45. We'll talk to Ash from Sam and Ash Injury Law. Excited. Love the once a Raider, always a Raider. Every Wednesday, we're always getting somebody new, and we're getting different perspective each time around. But it all goes to back to the same where it's like the family is stronger than ever.
Yeah.
And I love the stories of loyalty. I love the stories of commitment. And especially for somebody like Grant Irons, whose father played in the league before him, you know, there's going to be a lot of great stories about, you know, having that legacy. Once a Raider, always a Raider.
Yeah, you talk about a football family. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how the story of the day with UNLV and Matt Sluka, how it rubs, like, you know, some of those football purists, those
right.
old school guys, when they sit there and hear this, how they are just not shaking their heads like, what is going on in the sport I love so much?
Have you ever just abruptly quit a job? What, have you ever bailed on someone, on anything that you had a, you know, I'm talking about like you had a real commitment to.
Oh, I got a story.
Okay.
I did not bail. It was.
Did you give your 2-week notice?
Yeah, it was well known from the start, I believe, if I remember correct. But
that's your recollection.
This is my story, my truth, as they say. But no, this is actually a good because you know I was a young kid in high school.
Because my parents stressed that.
Agreed. Yeah,
I'm sure. I went to Irish and Italian.
I went to a private school.
You did the right thing.
Those things were instilled in me from a very young age. But I worked at a tuxedo rental place in high school to help. That way, I didn't have to pay for the tuxes and such when I would go to the dances. It was a way like I would earn some extra money and I didn't have to.
You had an in.
Yeah, I had an in.
Sweet right. move.
And I remember
you knew a guy. You.
I do. This has nothing to do with it, but a quick story. It was me and my buddy who was working there, and there was only one way. When you clean the shoes, you polish the shoes, you put them in one way so that the heel was sticking out because on the heel it was taped on what the size was on these very nice dress shoes.
So you take one look, boom, you're in.
Well, the wife of the person who owned it told us to put them in the other way so Ooh. That the toes were facing out, but we were told specifically from the husband, the owner, you stick the heels out where my buddy did what the wife said because she was there. So she said, and the owner comes back and goes, who did this? And me and my buddy goes, it was me. He got fired on the spot.
What?
He got fired on the spot. And I just sat there and I was like.
Nobody ever told the truth like your wife.
The wife didn't. No, we did. And the wife goes, I don't remember saying that. Oh. It was one of those type situations.
What?
But anyways, that was neither here nor there. Yeah. Anyways, after I went to the dance and got what I needed out of it in terms of the free tux, I was done. But it was a common practice for because it was a very quote unquote right. seasonal. You know,
I'm just
dance time. You move
on. The reason because we've all been in positions where you get a better offer and you have to act now, and you do have that right. You do have that inner okay.
Oh, what am I telling? I have a better story that. My first TV job.
Okay.
My first TV job, San Angelo, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Two stoplights.
Right.
I was there 3 months. They never had me sign a contract.
Okay.
Which
worked out for you.
Worked out really well for me.
Right.
They wanted me there for 4 years. After 3 months, I was like, need to get gone.
Okay. But you didn't have like another offer at that point?
No, but I said at 3 months, I was like, oh, I wonder if I made a new tape and went somewhere else.
Have you ever been in that position where you got an offer from somebody
else?
And I got
an offer.
No, I'm saying
in
like,
Washington State while I was still in San okay. Angelo. And I said, hey,
gotta go.
I never signed anything. So I guess that would be
right.
That'd be a similar situation.
Yeah. Did you give the 2-week notice or did you just abruptly leave?
Yeah,
okay. So you handled it.
I said, I can be here as long as you need until.
Right.
But they weren't happy. So they just said you can leave.
Yeah. Because it does, if you have any, again, scruples or integrity, it puts you sometimes in a. Because there are sometimes that offer that comes where like, you got to do it now. We can't wait the 2 weeks. And what do you do in that situation? And I've never been in that situation. It's kind of come close. But I've always wanted to be able to handle the exit correctly. And we're hearing some numbers out there for Matt Sluka, until those are verified, maybe we should just hold that. But my question is, at what price tag do you need to where you just lose all your scruples and integrity and just say, I'm out? Like, is there a number that you that would be there for you to just completely go against everything that you believe to be the right way?
I'd like to say no. And I believe I'd say no, but just because it would be something that'd be very difficult for me to move on from.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, despite the number. The inner conflict would be, yeah, the guilt would be too much for
right.
that young Irish Italian Catholic guilt would be too
now,
much.
The kid is what, 21 years old? So,
yeah.
You know, he doesn't have the luxury of a long life and life experiences to, you know, maybe years from now he'll look back and say, was that whatever the amount of money that I've already spent now, you know, long ago.
Now, some of those UNLV current student-athletes are, and some former are taking X, and everyone's kind of saying, well, let's wait to see kind of.
Teammates?
Yeah, teammates. But one guy put, I bet Haj Malik Williams goes big
now
this weekend against Fresno State.
That's the big story.
And preseason All-American Ricky White, his receiver, goes true story.
Probably happy.
So you don't think they're feeling some kind of way right now, ready to.
Well, here,
you know what I mean?
If you're Ricky White, this actually helps you. This is a much better thrower. And Ricky White has been marginalized because the quarterback that just left can't throw the ball. I was in, you know, at that game in Kansas, and there were a couple of wide open opportunities for White that just got wasted. Like, this is a preseason All-American. This is a guy that's on the Senior Bowl watch list. And his numbers are dramatically lower than they were at this point last year because the quarterback situation was better last year in terms of throwing the ball. So maybe this actually benefits Ricky.
Clay, what do you think? This might be a rallying point.
Yeah.
For a team that hasn't had a lot of adversity, let's just say. I mean, they've played in some tough, tight ball games and played really well. But you could look at – it's all how you spin it, right?
I think if we're just to reset it, Matt Saluka, the quarterback, is now transferring out of UNLV because of a Saturday deadline in the contract that he's got a better deal somewhere else, so he is now opting out.
He preserves his redshirt.
And he's and now the Rebels themselves are going to turn around as the real conference play begins, this huge game against Fresno State on Saturday at 12:30. Can they turn their fortunes around? The good thing about that is they already have an identity that they can run the ball. And run it, you know, sufficiently, so they can still continue their identity to be a smash mouth running style team, and allow the quarterback to ease his way in. It's not going to all be resting on his shoulders as soon as that ball is high.
Yeah, he comes into a balanced offense, and this is the storytellers that we are. What a great opportunity
to tell
a great story!
Yeah.
Like this has the chance in the final analysis, and knocking on wood that this will be the case for UNLV, that this turns out to be not a bad story, but a great story, maybe even an inspiring story. And here's this kid that's been, you know, waiting his turn, and now he gets it, and maybe he runs with it, and it turns out to be this tremendous story. Because we're not talking about a team that's ranked 23rd and creating some national attention for themselves and are right smack in the middle of the playoff chase as well. This isn't an 0-3 team that nobody cares about. This is a team that a lot of people are starting to care about and starting to become aware of. So what better stage, potentially, for Malik? That's his name, right?
Haj Malik.
Okay,
he was a highly touted transfer.
From Campbell University?
Coming over here. Like, he was he was looked at as like, oh, this is going to be the guy this season. And there was a tight quarterback competition in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Saluka wins out, probably because of just how dynamic he was running the ball. But what an opportunity. I everyone's going to be mad right away. And the vitriol, and we saw it on social media last night. We continue to see it this morning.
The words,
but man,
quitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's coming down on this, Saluka.
I'm excited. UNLV once again becomes must-see TV Saturday matinee.
Right. It's a Saturday matinee, and Fresno State is also feeling very good about themselves.
True.
Like, they feel like, you know, they have a chance now to go and unseat
a ranked team.
So
how,
you know,
about that?
It's a crazy collision course right now, but for Fresno State, UNLV stands in their way right now.
So as we turn the page and pivot a little bit, getting back to the Raiders in the NFL, and as we turn the page on the proverbial week, as we burn the tape,
mm-hmm.
and look ahead, where do we go? What do we expect? Practice back at it today. Head coach Antonio Pierce will be chatting once again And what do we expect?
This is the third week. We're going into week four.
Correct.
And you've asked the question about what do you expect every single week.
Yeah.
And every single week I've given you the same example. I have no clue. You want to have an idea of what you want to see. If you're a Raider fan, what you want to see and what you expect. That's the whole thing about this team.
I meant more so with the practice. Do you think we're going to see, do you expect Eric Allen on Monday or Monday morning?
Well, first of all, we don't see the practice.
I understand. We're going to hear from the team.
It's going to be great from the players. All right. Last week was the best offensive practice that the Raiders had.
Was that 2 weeks in a row that we heard that?
No. I don't remember 2 weeks ago. Maybe I
no,
wasn't.
No, it was Chargers week.
Okay.
We heard it Chargers week, and we heard it last week.
So, in
terms of one of the best practices midweek of a season.
I've been around long enough to know that I don't care what they say at this point. I mean, it has value. I'm not diminishing that. But how it applies to the game on Sunday, it doesn't have any bearing. So when you ask me what do I expect, I'm already fast-forwarding into Sunday, all right? Because to me, this is the biggest test of Antonio's short tenure as a head coach. He's never had to deal with this, what happened on Sunday. Every game last year was competitive. You know, the Vikings game, the defense showed up. They lost 3-0, right? And hey,
it was a one-score game.
By the way, a lot of credit to Brian Flores because he did C.J. Stroud just like he did Aiden O'Connell last year. C.J. Stroud was discombobulated last week against the Vikings, and Brian Flores is now doing that. If he wasn't suing the NFL right now, he would be the hottest commodity right now in the NFL.
Well, he's the reigning assistant coach of the year.
Right, but he's not going to get a head coaching job because of the pending.
Anyways.
So credit to him.
Yes.
But there hasn't been a blowout loss that Antonio Pierce has had to deal with. There hasn't been a game in his, 9, 10, 11, 12, this is 13 games, roughly, where he's had to deal with a locker room that he just pointed a finger to, like questioned their effort. He literally questioned his players' effort. So this is a big test here on Sunday for how he's going to rally this group and get this group back on the right track. And that's all well and good. But I don't know what the reaction – I don't know what to expect on Sunday. I'm clueless right now about this team. I felt like I knew that the defense was going to be good. The defense has given up the fifth most points in the game, the 27th. They ranked 27th, 32 minus 27, whatever that is. All right? Did you expect that? No. Did you expect the running game to be strong this year? Yes. Has that happened? No. So anything that we expected coming into the season has already proven to be.
So Sunday at Allegiant Stadium is going to be one giant mystery box.
Every game has been a mystery. That's my point. You've asked that question, and rightfully so. I don't know. Do you?
I don't know what
you'd
what
be
Sunday's
lying if
be.
You said you did.
Yeah, 100%.
Right.
If I sat Where's there, that? Well, I told you last week. I go the running game is going to be better. Technically, I was correct. They had more than 4 rushing yards in the first
and
half.
And we did qualify. Remember, we qualified that.
And as Eric Allen talked about on Monday, you know, stopping the run must be figured out. So I'd have to think like this week as you're thinking like, all right, what's going to be going on in practice? That has to be a prevailing thought as the defense has to become something you can rely on again. And stopping the run might be your first place you start.
702-365-9200. What do you expect Sunday? I mean, what do you expect
Clay?
To hear from practice?
What does Clay expect?
What do you? Well, you just mentioned the run fits, and
he think. Well, does he expect that? Do you expect it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the Cleveland offense hasn't been what they were hoping for. You know, with Stefanski's offense, you know, they are still like trying to find their identity because they used to run the ball a lot. They only managed 69 rushing yards last week
Panthers
against the New York Giants. So for what I'm saying is that I would think that you would have to go and find a way to go and exploit whatever Cleveland is struggling with right now.
Well, thank you for saying the think part because I think so too. But I don't know. I can't sit here and say I expect it. And why I say that, the Carolina Panthers was one of the worst rushing defenses in the NFL, and the Raiders couldn't run on them, right?
The Chargers ran on them 50, 54, 56?
Yeah, it was 55, very, something like that. Yeah, it was
high
attempts.
Number.
Yeah.
220 plus.
Right.
I mean, everything we expected to happen last week into week three did not come to fruition. And not only did it not come into fruition, it was exceedingly beyond what we expected.
And what an indictment that is for Bryce Young, because they pretty much have all the same personnel, the same playbook. Dalton just did.
Nothing else changed. Yeah,
that was just one guy that changed it.
Nothing else changed. So 702-365-9200. Fans, what do you expect? What do you expect Sunday? And that is the giant mystery box that is the silver and black.
Without question. And that's not good. Four weeks into a season.
Not even a month into the season.
There's nothing
that you can hang your hat on.
Exactly. Even the things that you thought. That's why I'm saying I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say I expect anything. Because I've been surprised every week. And it's been... That really is frustrating, because I would imagine inside a locker room, at least you should feel like there are some things that you can hang your hat on. Even if everything else goes bad, we know we got this. We're going to be able to do that. Now if we could just do this, that the Raiders haven't been able to do anything consistently, offensively or defensively. I'm just as concerned with the defense, especially with the injuries, that I am with the offense. And I'm shocked that we're saying that right now. Shocked about the defense.
I'll tell you what I expect. I expect A.J. Cole to continue to be a weapon.
Been fantastic.
An absolute weapon. Much more on the other side as the tailgate continues.
There it is from Andre James. Gardner looks right. He pops. Now he looks to the left. Takes a shot. Down the middle of the field. Open Tucker. Makes the grab at the 30. And he's brought down at the 25-yard line. They've been waiting for Trey Tucker to break loose, and boy, did he ever. That's a pickup of 56 yards.
Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate, as the story of college football continues to evolve this morning here in Las Vegas. Bob Sluka, father of Matt, has spoken with ESPN saying his son's agents agreed to an NIL deal with the school back in February, never received payments despite requests, and never asked for any adjustments to the original deal. Quote, "We have no idea what the hell happened."
Bingo.
End quote.
That's big.
So that obviously changes the entire narrative of the story. If the university did not make good on whatever deal was made, then I don't blame, and I can't be mad at the player.
That's exactly what we've been saying. Like it could go a couple of different ways, and we're putting everything into we're not leaving any stone unturned here in terms of who's mostly responsible. And if that is the case, and we're going to still say if that is the case, because you always have to, there's three sides to every story. So we'll see exactly how this plays out, what UNLV's response is going to be. But if it is proven, that UNLV hasn't honored its commitment, then that's on them. And you don't blame the kid whatsoever. But we'll see. We'll see.
We'll this continue to keep you updated.
We're in the second quarter here.
Yeah. 702-365-9200. Taking your calls. Clay, where are we going?
Let's go to the Great White North. Dino from Toronto.
Dino.
Welcome to the show, Dino. Good morning. What do you expect this week, and what do you expect Sunday against the Browns?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Just wanted to say I'm an afternoon caller. Usually I talk to Q and Ari, but I listen to you guys every morning, and I'm just very grateful that we got 24/7 Raider Nation Radio all the time, especially up here in Canada, in Toronto. So, it's great to have that. One thing I'd like to add is that, I know everyone's talking about the run game. I brought this up to Q last week, and I know that the run game is stagnant, but there's many different ways you can create the run. And, we have such quickness on the sides. Jet sweeps are a great way to start, get these guys blocking on the run. Perhaps maybe they need a couple of steps to get in the flow, to get these guys some confidence, to open up some holes, So, we didn't see any of that last week, and I thought that for sure that would have been ideal, because their run defense was horrible, right? Well, it was before they played us. Maybe build the O-line a little confidence, get these guys running these jet sweeps and get them running on the fly, man. You know what I mean? And create some action. I mean, the offense has been pretty vanilla. it's starting to appear that and it's only three games in, but it's starting to appear that, you know, it's getting a little stagnant, man, especially, you know, starting off the second half with two run plays and a desperation pass. I mean, like, that's not the way you're going to win football games. And I mean, I know our new OC came from Chicago. I have a lot of friends in Chicago, and they're telling me, hey, man, good luck. This guy's boring, and he doesn't create a lot of offense. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm not trying to judge the guy, but just going from what I've heard from a lot of my friends from Chicago. And the last thing I want to mention is, Vinny, I'm really grateful that you're with us. I mean, Raider Nation. I mean, you came from L.A. You had the opportunity to cover the Lakers, like I've always heard you talk about. You covered probably the greatest athletes over the last 100 years, and Kobe Bryant, rest in peace. And you always bring up stories about Kobe would never settle for this crap. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be, you know, and we do have some alphas on this team, but I think the biggest alpha is AP. I remember Q brought up a question a few weeks back before the season started. Like, who's the person on this team that you're going to identify? AP is the guy that I identify with. He's the heart and soul of this team right now. I know we got some great talent, but, you know, I think that he took this loss so bad that you saw what he said. And, mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. But I think AP is going to fire these guys up. I mean, he's the heart and soul of this team right now.
Right.
I mean, if this team doesn't buy into him, then there's something wrong. Honestly, there's something wrong with some of the chemistry on the players. But it's still early. I mean, we can get back to 2-2 if we beat the Browns this Sunday and we're at 500. I mean, and then you know you're into your next series of four games.
All right, Dino, thanks for calling us from Toronto. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you, Dino, and fantastic accent, by the way. And I think he's right. I think Antonio is the face of this, which is why this is such a fascinating week to me. I can't call it as we're sitting here today on really what to expect, but it's I do think that if there's a little bit of a referendum on the leadership of this team outside of the coach. This has to come from within the locker room in terms of rallying everybody together, creating a level that you can't deviate from that in terms of the mental aspect and the approach aspect and the focus aspect and you know, obviously the passion that you play with on Sunday. And that has to come from the players. And so this is a referendum to me on the leadership inside that locker room. If they respond accordingly on Sunday, that'll be a great sign for that leadership in that locker room. If not, then I'm going to start questioning the leadership in that locker room. And obviously the coach is the face of it in a lot of ways, maybe more so than in other outposts around the NFL with Antonio. But this is something that the players have to take control of. And it starts right there in the locker room. And I'm going to be curious to see how that leadership translates to their performance on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a great point and a great call from Dino, because he brings up, you know, I think he was being very generous when saying the run game was stagnant.
Yeah.
I think that's a generous way to phrase it. To his point, getting creative, we talked about, and, you know, we heard a lot on social media, or at least I did, after talking about being Luke Getsy apologists after yesterday's show. And I would just point out that while I think there's not been a lot done from the players in terms of the execution, in terms of doing what they need to do to execute the offense and to make it look a certain way, I also do believe that it's on Luke Getsy to get creative. You got to find a way to make it work. So to Dino's point, if that's the jet sweeps, mm-hmm. if that's getting, you know, a little complicated, you know, they always say get creative or complicated, but sometimes the best solution to anything is to get as simple as possible. Again, I'm not an offensive lineman. Was never in an offensive lineman room, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in that. But the ones that I've spoken to in the years covering this team, they say the easiest thing is say, line up and go attack the guy in front of you. And start there. And then we can start to divvy up different things.
But Brock Bowers, I have a hard time believing they haven't.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
And they just haven't.
But that's why
they
say,
have not responded. The offensive line has not. They tried to do that those first two plays. I mean, they've tried to do that every drive, right?
But that's what I'm saying. That now it's on Luke Getsy. Okay, you got to find a solution. You can't just keep banging your head on the wall.
No, and going back real quick on the fly sweep, they've run it, I think, one time this year.
Yeah.
And I think the world of Jakobi Meyers, but I don't think that's his forte right there. I want a speedster running the ball right there. That's Trey Tucker.
Yeah.
Or how about Brock Bowers, who in his own way, you know, at his size, is extremely fast and then also physical. I think Jakobi Meyers does a fantastic job, and sometimes he could break that, but I'd rather see the speed guy. To me, that's a Trey Tucker or maybe
Jakobi
a DJ.
Can do it. Trey can excel at it. Brock right. is a guy that could probably excel at He's, it. So yeah. that's why I like Dino, where Dino's going with it.
Of course.
You know, throw some stuff out there. Right. See, you know, try different things. And that doesn't necessarily mean getting, you know, crazy with like hook and ladders like we saw in Detroit.
Love that
Detroit.
Wish he'd see it more often.
But, you know.
And then you hear Marcus talking about all the plays that Gardner left out there.
Well, and, you know.
And you got Luka and get creative. Well, I'm scheming guys wide open, and the quarterback, and he's not going to ever say this, but I'm saying.
I understand.
But, right.
But I've been saying this for 2 weeks, saying that Gardner's either impatient with his first read, and people are saying, well, no, the offensive line. Well, two things might be true.
Absolutely.
But as Marcus said today, he did have time in numerous opportunities to make a play, and he got impatient, held on the ball too long, and
left plays on the field.
And I believe I'm going to come up with the stat. I know we got a caller, so let me look up the stat. But PFF did had a grade one. On the passing pass protection
okay.
and how Gardner fared.
All right, out to the gateway to the Sequoias, Central Valley, California. Raider Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning, Clay. Man, it's good to hear your voice. I hear you guys every morning. So you got a new member there.
Vince.
To the Raider Nation Radio. I want to say congrats to you as well.
Thank you.
Mr. V. I guess we got two V's there.
Yeah.
And, as well, to the big Laker fan there, I'm glad Vinny is there. Because and you are a book of knowledge, sir. And
I appreciate just
thank
that.
You. But getting back to it's the O-line. You okay. get JPJ at left guard. You know what? The center's great. 2 years ago, we were leading rushing. Come on. Our center's great. And we need to put him back at right guard. Just leave that. Once that gets settled, about week six, I think we're going to be okay at line. And, yeah, you know what? I think we're okay with Getsy. Stop getting scared, Minshew. Let's just get the plays in there and stop running. Just throw the ball. You know, our backup quarterback, he'll throw the ball. You know, he'll throw the ball regardless. He's not the fastest guy, but Minshew needs to throw the ball. The guys are wide open. You know, it was an embarrassing loss. I've been a Raider fan since 82. You know, and I'm a Cali Raider. I'm not a Vegas Raider. I'm from the Central. I'm an old school Raider fan. I love my Raider Nation, man. But straight up, our defense, you can't keep relying on Max Crosby all the time. He's not our savior. We have 11 guys out there, man, you know, and they're giving it their all. I don't see no one taking off no plays. Because you know what? Each teammate will give it to the next teammate. I guarantee you that. That's the way the Raiders have always been. They always will be like that. Except for Randy Moss. Randy Moss. He was
Ray, it's awesome. I'm glad you called in, man. Thanks for doing it. It's good to hear from you. Do it again.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Raider Ray, Central Valley.
Yeah, that was a great call. And going back to the point about the offensive line, we all recognize the run attack is not good.
Abysmal.
But I have made the argument that the pass protection has not been as bad as we are seeing out of the run blocking. And Ted Wynn, who writes for The Athletic.
Yep. Good friend.
According to PFF, Gardner Minshew has the fourth highest rate of pressures charged to the quarterback in the National Football League, which basically is saying he holds onto the ball too long, making life harder on the offensive line. Now, don't get me wrong. The game in Baltimore, there was a lot of miscommunication and guys were just getting beat. Outside of that, I've seen too many times where Gardner just flat out misses an open guy, as Marcus pointed out on a numerous examples. And this is not me patting myself on the back, but it matches what the eye test is showing. And I don't think any of us would be surprised that, again, Gardner's just, he is what he is. He is not an elite quarterback in the National Football League.
Right.
So is it all on Gardner? Absolutely not. But when you have one bad thing over here and then another bad thing here and then it just compounds on one another and then the defense continues to just get marched on, specifically in a game like Carolina, it's all going to look bad. All of it.
Yep.
So it goes back to what we've been talking about for weeks now. It's a collective. This team is not good enough when one facet is not working that the rest can necessarily pick it up. They're just they're not there yet as an organization, as a roster, as an offense. As we break it down to that further point, so
especially with the defense struggling,
that's what I mean. And so when we talked about, that's why I always ask you, what do we expect? Because I can't think of one thing
can count on
that you can count on and sit there and be like, well, I know I'm going to get this
right.
Because now, and this is not me, Antonio Pierce is the one who brought up business decisions, right. Meaning not effort, meaning not giving all in. And the one thing I thought we could always count on was the effort, was the intensity, was the energy, right?
Yes.
And so now after week three, we're already questioning that. And that is a byproduct of the head coach.
Yes. And what's so interesting about that is, you know, in a court of law, when you introduce something, it could introduce other things. When you open up that Pandora's box, then other things get talked about as well. And what did Marcus just said? I didn't see a lack of effort, but I saw some out-coaching going on. So now all of a sudden, those couple of fingers that you point at somebody else, a couple more get pointed at you. That's this whole thing is now being scrutinized, and right or wrong, healthy or not, that's what's out there right now. So what is it more of, effort or being out-coached?
Raider Ken in Northtown, North Las Vegas. What are your thoughts? Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good morning. Turning the page. How are you?
Oh, man.
Sounds like a man with something to say.
I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. I'm sick. I mean, this is year after year after year after year. When are we going to get it together? Mm-hmm. I'm a Raider fan all my life. My birthday coming up this weekend.
Happy birthday.
I sold my tickets. I'm not even taking my son because I don't want the disappointment. Maybe. I don't want it. After what I saw against Carolina, I don't want it. I want to have a great day. I don't want to be pissed off and disappointed. I want to see max effort, and I don't see that. I mean, it's like anybody, you guys, I'm pretty sure could feel and tell you got a high-level defensive coach who used to be top in the NFL. I know he's giving these guys effort every day and pumping them up. It's not transforming onto the field. It's not.
Yep.
I mean, any real athlete, ex-athlete, we see that. We see the effort not there. And it's disappointing. Like you said, Vinny, it's a surprise. It's a roll of the dice. What's going to happen?
Yep.
There's nothing that we have specific on Sunday. And do we not remember we have number 17? Yep. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
This was one of the best dudes 3-4 years ago. He's on ESPN every day talking about best rock. What happened?
When the guy throwing on the ball, when there's a big kind of a question mark there, then that's going to happen.
I mean, he can't get 7-yard routes, quick routes. He can't get Devontae the ball, period.
Yeah, the targets are down big time.
I wish we had answers for you.
I'm hurt.
I wish. Is your birthday Sunday?
My birthday's the first.
The first.
So we got to get you like an ice cream cake or something. All of us in the studio feel like.
How about a victory?
Yeah, we got to get you a hug, maybe.
He wants a victory.
My son is 2. I couldn't wait. I'm not taking him today.
It's National Lobster Day. Clay might help you with a lobster.
Like I got to get you some sort of therapy. They're like, how about a big hug? Like, we just get you over there to like, listen, we just hug it out.
I need it. My son needs it.
Yeah.
Raider Ken, we're all behind you, man. Yeah. We want to wish you a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I'll tell you what, your expectations can't be met.
All right,
thanks for calling, man.
The pain.
How do we reach Raider Ken? That's what I'm worried about, connecting back with Ken.
The Raiders can win a football game convincingly, or just give him something to cheer about. He was so disillusioned and so disappointed that he gave up his tickets on his birthday weekend. Who doesn't want to take their son to their team's favorite game?
Raider Ken, we need you to call back in.
Yeah.
At some point, either this week or next week. We're going to build you back up. We're going to build you back up, Raider Ken.
Just a welfare check, something. We just want to make sure that everything's okay. Because when you start your call off with a... It's like, how do we start from there? Anyway, we'll take a look at more of your thoughts on the text line at 702-365-9200. More to come. I got tickets. They just came in from Craig Williams. Ron White, the comedian.
What?
Tater Salad.
What?
Coming to Las Vegas. And we have a pair of tickets for today and tomorrow. This is for October 4th at the Chelsea. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Go see comedian Ron White. Be caller number 9, 702-365-9200. It's Raider Nation Radio.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Vinny, Vince, and Clay on Raider Nation Radio.
Wrapping up hour number two here on the Morning Tailgate at the 9 o'clock hour. We are going to have our weekly Wednesday, Once a Raider, Always a Raider, with former Silver and Black member Grant Irons. Excited for that conversation of what it means to be a Raider, what he saw this past week, what he expects this coming week, and what he thinks about football in general these days when we're talking at the college level and NIL. Mm-hmm. But we had a caller, Clay, named Dino, north of the border, which is nice because, you know, the Golden Knights open up their preseason home schedule tonight, so we're going to get a lot of those accents. But when I heard Dino, you ever watch the show Hey Arnold?
Remember cartoon? On PBS? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Billy West did the Arnold voice.
There's a character named Dino Spumoni in that show. Fantastic. That's fantastic. That's a great A name.
I love that. It's like you got to have like the Spumoni as like, you know, it's also, Dino, it's like, I guess cannoli was already taken as a
Italian
surname.
Most Italian name they could think right? of. He was a croon singer, I believe.
He was Dean Martin.
Yeah. Dino Spumoni.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Where do you land on Spumoni?
In terms of?
Delicious?
Oh, no, yeah, good? Yes. Very. I was thinking.
Not the character, the dessert.
Absolutely. I'm a Neapolitan ice cream guy. Love it.
Do you carve out the other colors?
The best
like
of
colors?
All worlds. I like mixing them all together.
Oh, okay.
You don't separate them?
I have a family member, and I'm still trying to figure out who it is. It's my son, daughter, or wife that likes one, and so it'll be like just one side is all gone.
Oh.
Yeah, like,
how do they do that?
The ratio's off.
That's not allowed whatsoever. So I'm getting to the bottom of
that. Are you a Spumoni guy or a cannoli guy?
More Spumoni for sure.
More Spumoni?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I really love how people's different takes on the cannoli is, and you know, you can always tell a little bit about the detail oriented bakery that they've either done themselves or did they go out and get it. But I love the flaky crust, and I love how good is the texture of the custard? Are you adding little things to it?
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, so cannoli with a flaky crust obviously is ideal, but then the chocolate chips, but just on the edges, not on the inside.
God, no.
Not on the inside.
No.
Just on the edges. Little chocolate syrup. Ooh.
Have you been to the homeland?
I've not. I've not had the pleasure.
Okay. Yeah, if you go down to southern Italy, Amalfi Coast, that area, pistachios are huge. And a pistachio cannoli. Mm. They do so many things with pistachios.
My mother loves pistachio ice cream.
Oh, I love pistachio ice cream. That was my dad's favorite. Yeah. Chocolate chip mint, though. The green.
So Dino Spumoni, when Clay goes, we got Dino on the line, I immediately went, hey Arnold, Dino Spumoni, desserts, I love cannolis.
And
at the bottom of the hour, I'd like
and
to
lobster.
Just talk. And lobster. At the bottom of the hour, I just like to talk what's at the frontal lobe of the old brain.
And it's usually, always food.
And it always tends to be
always
food.
That's the true Dino.
Oh my goodness.
Belle faste già. Sotto cielo di Roma.
Do we have to talk anymore? Can we just
No, that needs to be the out.
Why is that not in the final sit-down? How does that not take us away?
You got to get to Italy.
Which, Cleveland, that's a big little
That's where
Italy.
He's from.
Yeah, it's a big little
That's
Italy.
Where Dean Martin's from.
Steubenville.
Steubenville, yes. Mm-hmm. So close, I guess. I don't know.
So what are you
Don Rickles would always ask, you're from Cleveland, right? No, they were Steubenville. He's like, what? That matters? There's a difference?
I know, exactly.
So what are they going to serve in the press box?
A Cleveland dog.
Yes,
the Cleveland dog will have to be present, yes.
There is a Denver dog. There is an every dog that they've...
Did we talk about this on air, or was this off air?
I think it was off air.
Okay,
but there
so
is
just
a
to give a little context, at the Allegiant Stadium press box, I know poor us, they feed us so well.
Yeah.
They always have, you know, a different type of food on one side, but on the other side, they always have a hot dog stand with different kinds of condiments. Vinny hates condiments, which is weird.
No, yes.
But they always have a...
Unique
dog, so...
Right.
If it's
specific
a Denver dog,
to that
specific
team.
To the team they're playing. And usually the food on the other side is specific to
yes.
as well. But last week they obviously had a Carolina dog. And I had never heard of a Carolina. Like, what makes a hot dog from the Carolinas?
And it usually different? Has to do with the condiments and
yeah,
the
so
onions.
Yeah, so they had coleslaw, right? It was coleslaw, and they had chili as well. Now, Cincinnati chili... They've had Skyline Cincinnati chili for hot dogs. Denver dogs they've had. I never understood what a Denver dog, but we looked it up.
We looked it up. It
was something.
There was
weird.
Something.
It was something. Something.
Anyways. Chicago dog.
Yeah, we know what that is. But
New York dog. Like
Carolina dog was coleslaw and mm-hmm. chili, which I was like, okay, whatever.
So now trying too hard.
Yeah. Well, you got a
Cleveland dog.
Yeah.
So what's a Cleveland dog? Do we know?
We should. It's too bad we don't have some kind of
search. If only we had a Google machine.
Search agent.
It's
to
more
to...
fun to make up things.
Yeah, because I thank you very much, because I'm dubious. Well, we actually did do some homework on the Denver dog to find out, is Allegiant Stadium just fooling us? Have they just pulled the wool
well,
over
I lived
our eyes
in,
the whole
I lived in Denver, and I had never heard of a Denver dog.
Right.
Now, Mark in Colorado, who's an avid caller of the tailgate, which we appreciate, 702-365-9200, he did say there was a great spot. I missed
that's
that.
Different, though, than...
Yeah, there's great spots, but yeah. Then there's, like, a dog that you're known for.
Just
and
known
and
for.
I don't remember ever there being a Denver dog. Again, I was there over 2 years, so maybe I missed it.
Me and Jimmy G.
Ooh.
One time had a conversation of... because... You know, he made the trip to Chicago just so he could get the Italian beef sandwich from there's this place that he would go to in Chicago. Had to get his because that's where he's from. And we started talking about what cities are known for. And there isn't when you think about New York, there's no Italian specific place, like maybe a slice. But I mean, every town has its own sort of pizza. Philly is the Philly cheesesteak. Right. Chicago is the Italian
they just have
beef.
The world famous. Pizza on every
right.
Chicago like, style pizza
right
yeah.
right but it's a kind of started there you know like Coney dogs and
right.
then like you know is it called a hero sandwich or is it called
right.
you know it's like so there's always so many different dialects but it kind of started in New York and then prevailed throughout the
but they don't have
United
that
States.
One distinguished thing and that's what he and I were like we got to come up with something yeah. that you know
Cleveland dogs are usually Polish kielbasas with French fries and they got
French
the hot
fries.
Sauce on top of it. Some people like the coleslaw on top of that, but yeah,
French fries and hot sauce.
And hot sauce.
Have we had one with the sauerkraut?
I'm a big fan.
I don't know if we've had sauerkraut at the.
I think no, there's been sauerkraut there.
It always seems to be there, even if it doesn't have to deal with that specific dog.
I don't even
it's
look.
Always
it's always there.
I don't even look at the condiments.
All right, once a Raider, always a Raider. At the top of the hour, Grant Irons joins us next.